Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Psalm 143. We're continuing in our series on meeting God in the morning. Meeting God in the morning. And I want to read verse 8 again of Psalm 143 because I think we need to let it soak into our minds what we desire from God in the morning. What is it that we're looking for from God in the morning? Verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness when? In the morning. And by the way, that Hebrew phrase actually appears after this next phrase. For in thee do I trust, cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk in the morning. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon this message. Father, we thank You so much for bringing us together in the middle of this week. And Lord, I pray that You would strengthen us and fill us with Your grace and with Your peace, dear Father, in a world that is agitated, upset, angry, divided. Lord, we can have the peace that passeth all understanding. And I pray that You'd help Your people to understand how important it is to seek Thy face in the morning. And I pray that we might know how we ought to walk and where we ought to go. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to finish this up with a little PowerPoint because I thought it would help tie all these things together that we've shared. And I want to mention again that it is perfectly fine for me to ask God to cause me or to make me to be able to do certain things. Because what I'm doing is I'm admitting that my will is flawed, but His will is flawless. You know, God's more interested in you submitting your will to His will than you just charging ahead with your will. Because God already knows what your will is like. He knows what my will is like. My will is flawed. I desire things that I ought not to have. I desire to do things that in my bullheadedness, I want to do it. But just because I think it doesn't mean it was planted there by God. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't understand. And that's why the psalmist said, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. That's another word for mercies. It's in the plural. Cause me to hear thy mercies in the morning. Now, why would I need to know His mercies in the morning? Because God knows all the trouble I can get into in the daytime because of my will. Amen? Oh, it's got kind of quiet. All of a sudden, yeah, thank you. Are you already asleep? We just started. No. We've got to be careful about this matter of the will. We can put way too much emphasis on it. My will is to be submitted to God's will. That's the will I'm concerned. So, Lord, You cause me to know Your loving kindness in the morning, and You cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. You know what you're saying? Lord, I'm submitting. I really don't know which way I ought to walk. I think I know. I think I know. Well, I've thought a lot of times over the years about how many times I've had that I think I know, and I was dead wrong. I was dead wrong. I thought I had a girlfriend I was going to marry when I graduated from high school. I thought that. Guess what? I was dead wrong. God had other plans for me. Boy, it broke my heart. I got up to Bob Jones University and I was ready. Boy, we were going to be dating and I got a note. And the mail said, I want to date around. You do? I waited 2 years. Came out, you want to date around? And she did. But you know what God was doing? He was moving in another direction. And I had to decide whether I was going to submit to His will or just keep plugging ahead with my will. Because I just kept writing notes. Oh, would you change your mind? Would you do, you know, all the things you do. Squirt a little cologne on there. That'll get her. By the way, Old Spice doesn't work. Aqua Velva doesn't work. That was the only two kinds that I had in school. Now, That's what worked for Roger. Well, it didn't work for me, I can tell you that. We grew up in our house. My dad had two colognes in his bathroom that we would sneak in there and get from time to time. One of them was Old Spice and the other one was Aqua Velva. Some of you have no idea what Aqua Velva. Any of you remember that? Okay, all of you that are over 90. Everybody that's over 90 remembers that? Oh, boy. But I was determined I'm going to win her back, you know. I'm going to be Don Juan, and I'm going to win her back. And there was nothing to be done. God was moving in a different direction, and He wanted me to go that way too. And God provided her with a husband and provided me with a wife. You see, folks, our will is flawed. And you better wake up every morning and admit that. Lord, oh God, my will is flawed. Within my will, I would do good, but I find that I do what? That which is wrong. So what do I do about it? I'm just going to keep moving ahead, and I'm going to do what I want to do. You're a fool. You're a fool to do that. The graveyards of America are filled with people that were full of their own will. I told the students about the movie Rebel Without a Cause. James Dean, who died at the age of 24. He was a rebel to the core. He went from zero to star status after just two movies. He had just completed his third movie when he got into his little Spider, a high-speed car that he had paid cash for. And he decided to go out toward Las Vegas and put it to the mat, see how fast he could go. He made it all the way. Turned around to come back to Los Angeles. Never made it back. It took hours to unpeel the car around the telephone pole, and there wasn't much left of James Dean. An icon who followed his own will. Oh, there's pictures of James Dean everywhere. It's an amazing thing. He's been dead for almost 60-something years. 65 years he's been dead. And you still see his pictures all over the place. The iconic picture of him standing there with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and got his T-shirt on and his jeans. He was living his life for himself. Snatched off into eternity. No opportunity because he had squandered it all on himself. Because you see, our will is flawed. And the sooner you recognize that and every morning admit it before God and say, all right, Lord, my will is flawed. I want to do what You want me to do today. Lord, if my thoughts are going to take me away from You, my plans are going to take me away from You, then dear God, please cause me to know the way I ought to go. That's what we're missing today in American churches. As people that are serious about walking with God and having God dictate His will to us rather than we dictate our will to Him. We'd have a far different American church today and a church around the world if we had more people like that. Now, I want to share with you some things about in the morning time, what should my meeting with God look like? If I'm going to have a serious meeting with God, I need to know what He said in His Word. I want you to see the first thing there, be purposeful and prepared. You know, if you're going to get anything out of any worth in this world, you've got to be prepared. You know, a lot of times we go into our Bible study time and we're half asleep. Are we going to get anything from God in that regard? Be purposeful and prepared. Choose a private and quiet place where you can get alone with God. Ask God for mercy and guidance. Psalm 143:8, what I've just shared with you. Ask Him for guidance. Lord, I need Thy mercy. Lord, I need Your loving kindnesses. I need to know which way I ought to go. And then thirdly, and don't ever forget this, and I'm going to emphasize this in just a moment. Adore Him with your soul and spirit in silence. we talk too much. Have you ever just meditated on the Lord with your mouth shut? One of the ones that emphasized this a great deal in his writings was A.W. Tozier. You know where you found A.W. Tozier on a Sunday morning? He was laying flat on his face in his office at the church in Chicago. The Alliance Church there, you can still go there, the building is still there, and they still meet in that particular structure, but that was a small office up on the third floor, I believe it was, and he would lay there on the floor in absolute silence, adoring the Lord. He said, I cannot stand in the pulpit and preach His Word until I let Him know how much He means to me. You want to know what's missing today in our Bible time? Adoration. Adoring Him. Let's go to the second thing here at the bottom. Bible and prayer list. You can't have Bible time without a Bible. And there are a lot of poor substitutes out there. There are phones that have the Bible on it, but guess what happens during the entire time if you don't turn off all your notifications? Bzz, bzz, bzz. The whole time. Doesn't matter what device you have. If you've got it set up for notifications, you're going to get interrupted the entire time. Get out a Bible. Put your phone in another room away. And you get into the Word of God and just be quiet and let God speak to your heart through His Word. Now that involves an understanding of you can have your laptop if you want to take notes or whatever. Some people have programs that they can do where they turn off their notifications and they've got Bible study and you can type notes in beside the verses. There's all kinds of different apps and things that are very helpful, but you got to turn off the notifications or you'll spend your whole time looking. Oh, someone emailed me. By God, you just checked out. Got to get serious about Bible study. The third thing, ask God to open your eyes to behold His Word. To open your eyes. I think this is so important. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Would you turn back there, please? Psalm 119 and verse 18. Here's another moment where the will gets turned over to God's will. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What are you asking God to do? Lord, you've got to help me by opening my eyes because my eyes are so full of my will and my purposes and my plans. I need you to override that and open my eyes that I may behold what? Wondrous things out of thy law. You know, there's a whole series of things that I found very interesting that I want to share with you at this particular moment. In this third step here, ask God to open your eyes. It is biblical to ask God to do certain things to cause us to be in a place of benefit. Listen to Ephesians 6, 17 through 18. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. What am I doing? I just picked up ordered a book because I was interested to find out the theme and it's written by a well-known individual, and they constantly talk about praying for the wind of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit. And I've looked through my Bible so many times, and I don't see any place in there that I'm supposed to pray for the wind of the Spirit. I'm supposed to pray in the Spirit. Amen? Pray ye therefore in the Spirit. Pray for Spirit-controlled understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. But I'm not supposed to pray for the wind of the Spirit. What is the wind of the Spirit? Well, he goes into great detail of what he thinks the wind of the Spirit is. But you know what I find? He's lacking. Listen to this. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. So what am I supposed to do? I take the sword of the Spirit and I pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Word of God. I find that many times in the Scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, pray for us that the word of the Lord may go forth speedily and be honored. That's from the Amplified. That it would go forth speedily and be honored. Prayer and the word. Pray that the word would break through and triumph. Acts 6 and verse 4, the apostles said that they should devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You know what you need? You and I both need more of the Word taught by the Spirit. If you want to pray a biblical prayer, Holy Spirit of God, would you help me to understand the Word of God which you wrote? Which you wrote. That's what I need to know. This idea of the wind of the Spirit sounds really cool. It sounds, you know, mysterious and mystical. But I need something a little more stable than that. I need the words of God. That's what I need. And so we need to pray in that regard. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 to 14. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews. He said, when you heard the word of God preached, you received it as the word of God. There's an understanding, dear folks, that when you stand before this book, we're not reading the National Geographic. We're not reading Time Magazine. We're not reading Good Housekeeping or Field and Stream. You're reading the divine Word of God. And it should be treated as such. It's a whole different mindset than sitting down to read a magazine. I like reading books. I'm just about finished with a biography of William Carey. William Carey studied Sanskrit, Hindi, Bengali, languages, having no language training other than what he taught himself. Spent hours every day studying it and trying to learn how to put it in characters, because at that particular time, the written word, especially in Sanskrit, was so hard to understand. It was just unbelievable. But that was the basis of all the dialects in India. So he taught himself. And they asked him one time, said, Brother Carey, why do you spend so many hours by candlelight studying Sanskrit and Bengali and Hindi? Why do you spend so much time? He said, because precious souls need the Word of God. I see this as my holy calling to give them the revealed Word of God. And you know what God did? He allowed him to translate the New Testament into Bengali, into Hindi, and Sanskrit. All three of them. And the translations are still used to this day. Now here was a man that was submitted. He wasn't praying for the wind of the Spirit. He was praying that God's Spirit would enable him to be able to write the Word of God in a different language that he was not that well versed in. He had a pundit, a man that understood the language, that would sit with him for hours at a time to help him with the etchings and the drawings. And then he had to go find a printing press and find a company that would make Sanskrit letters so he could piece them together to start printing the Bibles. You know what God did? Gave him a printer, gave him a man that could run the press, and gave him a group of people that hand-carved the Sanskrit letters to be used in the printing press so that the people of India might know this book. That's somebody that understands the glory and power of the Word of God. Last page here. The next one, be systematic in your Bible study. Don't be random. Random is the enemy of the child of God. You know, we have that old story of, you know, that he went out and hanged himself. Well, there's an encouraging word. Let me tell you something. Read God's Word with deliberate purpose. All right? Don't just hit and miss. Be systematic. Do you want to go to a surgeon who's random? You know, whenever I had my knee operated on, they came in there and drew all over my leg. There were notes, numbers, letters. One nurse came in on the day of the surgery and drew an arrow and said, "This knee." You know what I was doing? Praise God, because I knew they weren't going to be working on the other one, because they had too many letters written on this one. A surgeon is deliberate, systematic. How about a miner who's going to invest, a mining company is going to invest millions of dollars? When I was in Haiti, the mountain right beside the apartment where I stayed, which was basically a shanty that we were in, no power. There was a mountain right beside it. Up on the top of that mountain was a monastery. On the mountain beside that, at the very top, you could see this big concrete tower-looking thing, and below it was the opening to a gold mine that had been put in 1956. I asked Royden, I said, "Royden, I would love to climb to the top of that mountain." And he said, "We'll do it tomorrow." So right before the service, we headed up there. We drove as far as we could, and then we walked all the way up to the top of the mountain. And there we were looking down there. And I said, "What happened? What's the story of this?" He said, "A mining company from the United States came here to mine for gold. And they dug and they dug. That particular shaft that's at the top goes down 2,000 feet. You could feel cold air coming out because they put in several side ducts for ventilation. And you could feel the air just wafting up through there. And when you shouted down in there, it would just echo, 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 echo all the way down to the bottom. It was unbelievable. Right beside the shaft was a cave that had been dug out, and there were trucks and stuff that were left by the mining company because when they dug all the way down there, they didn't find an ounce of gold. The mining company went broke. They spent all their money digging a hole that brought them no return. Now, you know what they went by? They had heard of an ancient story from that particular area, Basin, that there was gold that was found in the hills. And so this got back and they interviewed all these people. "Is there gold up there?" "Oh yes, gold was found up there." Now just think for just a moment. If gold had been found there, would Haiti be in the place it's in right now? Do you really think that? Dirt poor, if there was gold there? But they took a dream and they just dug a hole and they found nothing. Nothing. And I'll tell you something, when you're random with God's Word, you're going to walk away with nothing. You've got to have a system in place of studying God's Word. You need to take notes. Boy, this is something that I found very helpful through the years. Take notes. Look for special thoughts. Record questions that you come across. I do that all the time. I have questions that come up and say, "Now, what is this particular thought found elsewhere in the Scriptures?" And so I make that my study for the next couple of days of locating this thought in other places in the Scriptures and writing it down or typing it out. So I've got a record of that. And then I want you to see finally that your Bible time should never be separated from prayer. Those two go together. Brother Aaron and I were typing back and forth to each other. I said, "You know, the greatest tool of a pastor is his prayer time and Bible time. That's the greatest. Prayer time is spending time with the one who loves you the most and is the one that's going to give you the words to share with God's people, because Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He wants his people fed. He wants his people watered by the Word of God. And a preacher that's not praying and not searching God's Word is just giving notes. You want to get something deeper than that. Remember Acts, A-C-T-S, as a pattern. As you study God's Word, number one, don't forget to adore Christ. I put this first. Adoration. Adore Him. Let Him know how much He means to you. You see, when you adore Him, he becomes much more personal. Much more personal. C, confession. Confess your sins. You know, as you study God's Word, things are revealed about your person, about your attitudes. You need to confess your sin. T, you need to be thankful. This is different than adoration. Thanksgiving is enumerating all the things relating to His character or relating to the things that He has done for you. It's enumerating those. Adoring is experiencing His presence and having a thankful spirit. It's appreciating His presence. Lord, I can't go through today. Oh, Lord, I know You can help me go through today. And dear Father, You helped me yesterday, and I'm looking for You today to lead and guide in my life. Oh, Lord, You're the most important thing in my life. Lord, I love You. It's okay to tell Him that. That's part of the adoration. And then the S, supplication. And that really goes last. We like to rush to the S part. Start pouring out all of our requests, and we forget about adoring Him, confessing our sin. Is God going to hear us when we have sin in our hearts and lives? No, the Bible's very clear on that. If we have sin in our hearts, He will not hear us. So we've got to confess our sin. We've got to show Him our thankfulness by enumerating all the blessings and then pray before Him. I want you to see finally tonight that God has spoken His Word in human language. This book right here that I hold in my hands is God's Word to Todd Brainerd. He allowed me to be saved at the age of 14. He allowed me to grow up in this ministry and in this church, to have a pastor who loved me and wanted to see me do what was right. Aunt Carolyn that was there when we were kids, teaching us God's Word, learning the right kind of music. I mean, I've had the benefits of all these blessings. Mr. Woods in my life, and I could go down the list of all the different people that were involved in my life. But this book, on this book hangs all my eternity. And you and I need to search it with diligence. If you're going to hang your soul on the words of this book, you better live every day according to the precepts of this book. If you're willing to trust God for all eternity to deliver your soul, can you trust Him for today? I think so. There's the huge disconnect. Oh yes, I'm trusting God for salvation, but we look at it like way off out in eternity somewhere. No, I'm saved now. And my Lord is to walk with, I'm to walk with Him every day, every hour, every minute, trusting in Him. And so I want to encourage you. God has spoken, and He's spoken in a language that you and I can understand. God has allowed the Bible to be translated into English. He's given us human speakers. He's provided us teachers and preachers, the Bible says. Pastors and teachers. Evangelists. To do what? To communicate this book. And you and I need to love it. We need to appreciate it. And we need to adore the One who gave it to us. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together tonight. Lord, it's so easy to be flippant about our time in the Word and with meeting with Thee in the morning. It gets too casual many times, and we get careless. We're not serious about the things of God, and then we wonder why we don't have an awakening in our land. We don't know why there's no revival that's taking place. Because we don't esteem Thy Word. We don't esteem Thy Word. And so we pray, dear Father, that You would do a work in our hearts and lives tonight to draw us back to Thee and to Thy Holy Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.